Hey friends, Devin again for another episode of the Bardic Babble podcast, the show where we interview creators about the things that they create. On today's episode, we have the team behind 20 Sided Stories. They are an actual play podcast group that puts in hundreds of hours in their productions, elevating them beyond an actual playcast and into more of an audio drama. And then just for those at home, to recap, an actual playcast is a podcast or show that utilizes a tabletop role-playing game rule set to create content. An audio drama is just that, a drama in an audio format. But before we get into that, I just wanted to thank you all for checking out the show. If you find the show enjoyable, please head on over to your preferred podcast app. Spotify and iTunes are our preferred platforms, and drop us a rating and review. It really helps in discoverability and helps us to get out to more people. More people, more fun. That's what I've always said. Now don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. We will take a quick ad break real fast and we'll dive into it with the 20-sided team. Welcome back, listeners. My name is Devin here with the Bardic Babble podcast, and joining me today is one of the coolest group of actual play podcasters I've ever had the opportunity to listen to. I have 20 Sided Stories. Hey, Travis, do not give me that face.
You don't know that. It could be, a bunch of dorks. I don't know.
We all had our own version of blushing right there.
Yeah.
And you have a series of different well-produced actual play podcasts around some of the dorkiest topic coverage in nerddom. So I think we're just going to set the baseline there. So I'm going to start with introductions. We'll start with Sage and work around the table. Just introduce yourself. What is your role on the show? And then just one fun fact.
Ooh, ending with a fun fact. Right on. My name is Sage. I'm the director, composer, editor, sound designer, kind of like showrunner guy of 20 Sided Stories. I'm the game master and lead the charge and trying to tell the stories. And a fun fact about me is that I kind of used this show to play more role-playing games. I wasn't an RPG-er before 20 Sided Stories, and that this was kind of this kind of I made this show to play more RPGs.
That's fair.
That's the first thing that came to mind.
All right. Jessica?
Hi, I'm Jessica Dahlgren. I am a co-producer, host, voice actor for 20 Sided Stories. And a fun fact about me. Oh gosh, there's just so many. Oh my goodness. I have never broken a bone in my body. Knock on wood. Thanks, Em. Oh my gosh, we're sisters. Yeah. I don't know why I said thanks, but yeah.
You're welcome. You're welcome for our shared thing.
Yes, I love it.
All right, and then Emily?
Hello, my name is Emily. I am a host voice talent and newly minted producer on 20 Sided Stories. Fun fact, I was brought on as a seasonal host, and then I was too aggressively passionate about me and they couldn't get rid of me.
Yes.
So the lesson there is be super passionate about the things you care about and people will keep you around.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then rounding us out, Travis.
Hello, my name is Travis. I am here. I act on the show. And As we all do, fulfill some sort of producer-ish roles when we can. A fun fact about me is, I actually just remembered this today. I was once featured in the top of show segment of This American Life.
You were?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that too.
When? Why? Sorry, this isn't my podcast, but please tell me anyway.
Yeah, no. See, Em is being aggressive right now.
Yeah.
I mean, so in 2008, something like that, when I was in high school, there was a segment called, the show was titled In the Middle of the Night, and the intro segment was about myself and my group of high school friends, another David included in this, everybody else, anyways, it was about how in high school on weeknights, since we lived in like a suburban area, we would get bored and drive around in a van, kidnap all of our friends, and just do like non-offensive like stuff, or we would just do dumb stuff. It was like, now that I'm detailing it, it's immensely dumb. It was really fun at the time, and it's really funny because it's not even so much that I was on it, it's that I got to listen to 5 minutes of Ira Glass be pretty condescending to me and my friends.
That's incredible.
And it was like, all right, I'll take that.
Just so you know, I am going to spend some time hunting down this episode so I can put it in the show notes. I have to do my producer role and just all loose ends.
I'll send you the link.
Oh,
it's great.
Perfect. Save me the research.
We did a lot of dumb stuff. We fit 15 people in a Honda Odyssey and we drove down the highest hill in the city with the hazard lights on, listening to the Space Mountain theme or soundtrack.
Love that. Sorry. My dream is to drive really fast with that song.
It's great.
Oh, can I amend my fun fact? Because everybody's fun fact was so fun.
Yeah, go for it.
I just thought of this. I was once featured on the Hunger Games official Facebook profile or Facebook page for Katniss. I guess you could say cosplay, but it was a Halloween costume. I was a winning contestant.
Very cool.
Good for you. Snaps.
Thank you very much.
All right. And then in just an elevator pitch, what is your show about for those who have not listened to it yet?
20 Sided Stories is an anthology actual play podcast. We take tabletop RPGs and we try to bring them to life and make it feel like you're there at the table with us with all sorts of sound design and music added. We basically have a goal to create unscripted audio dramas as if they were scripted, but nothing scripted. And it's us like totally improvising the entire time. It's a cheat code for preserving all of the really funny, emergent stuff that comes from improv comedy while still somehow not being an absolute chaotic, as a lot of improv shows can be, like going totally off the rails. We try really hard to like actually still build something cohesive out of it. So it's a fiction show.
And then what set of rules do you use for your show?
We change it every time. And I take it upon myself to design micro systems, very small, streamlined RPGs, to support the recording myself. Because a lot of established games are fantastic, but they're more fun to play, I think, than to listen to. So in a lot of the earlier experimental days before we started recording official episodes, I was finding things would slow down a little too much for the pace that I wanted for an audio medium. So we've designed a new system every time and we try to tailor it to whatever the world or genre is for that season.
Gotcha.
And by we, it's safe.
Yeah.
So then just going around the table real quick, what is each one of yours experience with tabletop RPGs and playing them? So same order, Sage, Jessica, Emily, Travis.
Okay, great. Yeah, so as I said in my now pretty mediocre fact compared to Travis and Jess's, I didn't play a lot of RPGs. Somehow it just kind of like didn't enter my town or like my friend's sphere. But I was always really, really interested, especially after I started getting into theater, because I did a lot of theater before I got into this podcast. So as a means to figure it out, me and some improvisers, of which I met Travis and Jess in that group of improvisers, a team up in the Bay Area of California, just kind of started splintering off, playing games every week. And then with the idea of like, what if we built a podcast out of it? And after a couple of months, the idea became a reality. And that was all the way back in 2017. And I don't really play casually anymore. It's pretty much all for this show, but not opposed.
All right, Jessica?
So I have even more little experience than Sage would with tabletop games. I was brought into it through the podcast, through Sage, and then Greg, who was one of the founding members, who is the voice of Skip in the Pokemon series, who also did improv with us in the Bay Area. And I think I don't even know if I've done a full, like, campaign that isn't outside of 20 Sided Stories, because I know we started one with Greg, but all we did was character design at his house. And then it didn't go anywhere. So I don't know if that's common.
I think yeah.
So. Extremely.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Oh, well, actually, that's not true, because we did do a campaign with Chad before Travis, before you moved to LA, when we did.
Oh, we did the peasant thing. Oh, yeah. The one shot.
Yeah, that was the one shot.
We did one shot. So that's my experience.
That was in the before garage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. That was a while ago. I still have that recording lying around somewhere.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
And Emily?
Oh, it's me. So I think, spoiler alert before we get to Travis, I think that I have the most tabletop RPG experience of any of you. Nobody's reacting to that, so I'm going to go with yes, that's a fact. I mean, like, I grew up in a big, like, board game friendly household, but I didn't really start playing, like, tabletop RPGs till 4 or 5 years ago, probably, where I started with 5e Dungeons and Dragons. So I've been playing D&D for like 4 or 5 years, and I'm a big fan. Of course, as with all D&D games, it's very hard to plan them and get people to show up and do all of that, so not that much D&D in my life, realistically, which is part of why I was excited to be a part of 20 Sided Stories, because it was a more we're actually gonna sit down and play a thing kind of thing, because we're doing it to actually produce. But I love tabletop games in general, so this has been a really fun way to do that, but with mostly role play and a little less math, which I'm super into.
And then Travis?
I don't really play recreationally anymore outside of the show, as most of us here, which I think might be like, this might just be because I live in Los Angeles, but that almost seems like a trend of like, if you are playing tabletop games, why aren't you recording, or are you recording it? And if not, why not? But, prior to the show in high school, I played a medium amount. My first campaigns were 3.5 and then Pathfinder adjacent. And I ran, and they were mostly like, you know, let's just like figure out kind of the game and like do fun character builds. Weren't super overarching narrative things. And for, you know, it's kind of traditional stuff. I think I've done probably 4 or 5 campaigns. Now that I think about it, I did 2 with Chad, 1 with David. David DM'd one time, and that was insane. So I forget, but I actually have like a decent amount of tabletop experience. I just also didn't pay too much attention to it when I was doing it, I guess. So I just act as if I don't.
It's fine. I'll pretend I'm the most knowledgeable. Yeah. It's okay. Also, technically, Sage and I are in a D&D campaign right now that we've yet to get to play, but we have characters.
It's true. It never really stopped. It just COVID happened. So yeah.
We're basically playing Hellboy and Abe, except Sage hasn't seen Hellboy, so it means nothing to him.
No, wow. No. I know what you're talking about. I didn't notice that until you just, that's, wow. That's
we're
good.
We're a red tiefling and a fish person.
Yes. No, I get it. That's, wow. Happy accidents.
Well, that's if I remember right. They just announced a Hellboy 5e mod coming out soon, so.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. All right, so you guys just wrapped up your Marvel arc. Can we just get a little synopsis of what happened in that run?
Sure. Marvel, Survivors of the Snap, is following the steps that we set up with our Pokemon pen and paper campaign, which is jumping into a very familiar, nerdy world and trying to carve out both a parody and something original from it. And it follows the story of Masha, Lily, and Eric, aka Roulette, Bloodhound, and Scry, played by my 3 producers who are here joined with me, as they try to figure out how to be superheroes in the 5-year gap between Infinity War and Endgame, where half of the population gets wiped out. So everything sucks. It's very depressing. It's a little too relatable to what's going on in the world, but it is still a comedy. You know, with some careful helpings of drama and you know, character discoveries and progressions and arcs and whatever. Again, trying to be cohesive, but yeah, it's an improvised indie punk rock superhero story.
How did you pick the IP that you were going to dive into? How did you pick Pokemon, and how did you pick the MCU and the others?
That's a great question. I gotta do some time traveling in my head. We actually didn't do like existing IPs for our first two seasons. We did a post-apocalyptic Western called Macabreverse, and we did a Victorian Sherlock Holmes-esque mystery called Victoria 1890. Those are now on our Patreon. They're Patreon exclusive. They're going to stay there on our Patreon. Everything going forward will be in the public feed, though. That was the planned order, though. Like I planned on doing Macabreverse, and then I handed it over to Greg, who was the founder of the show at the time, co-hosting it with me, to GM Victoria, and then we were going to jump into something that exists as Pokemon. Basically, we kind of knew that the first two seasons were going to be essentially training wheels A and B, and that third thing would really kind of allow us to, like, we'd have it figured out by then. And that's exactly what happened. So not only was it something more familiar to anybody out there who might be into this nerdy stuff, but it's a nostalgic property that all of us had played as kids, and it was ripe for all sorts of improv comedy and parody and just poking at all the absurdities in Pokemon, but also still, like, you know, writing a love letter at the same time to that game we all played as a kid. And then so once everything blew up last year with the MCU, with its big old grand climax with Infinity War into Endgame, seemed like a no-brainer. Once we thought about, like, how big that world had gotten. And then I think especially what locked it in was Greg actually coming up with the idea of doing it during the snap, because there's just, like, nothing in the MCU canon other than that little bit in Endgame that really shows us what that's like, whether or not they fill that out in the future, but there's very little. So that seemed like a great place for us to have some fun and fill it out in our own way.
I gotcha. So then I assume you guys record in a series of sessions and then edit over a few months to produce and release it?
You say you guys as if this is like an all hands kind of thing when it comes to post-processing.
Yeah, we're just all nervously looking at Sage like, please answer question.
Well, I will say for Pokemon, it was very chaotic in that we did, I mean, I don't know, remember the specifics, but I think we recorded all the episodes within 2.5 weeks or 3 weeks.
2 weekends.
Yeah, 2 weekends.
It was 4 sessions in total for 16 episodes.
Mm-hmm. And we were in this, like, hot box of in-law unit house that's like a shoebox in the middle of summer.
It was a boat. I'm telling you, it was a boat that they dragged on the land, and they said, this is where the boat will be, and now people will live here. And that's where Sage lived, which is where we recorded.
Yeah, I lived there for like a month. It was my friend's place. And we only had Jessica in the Bay Area where we all lived. Well, where me and Travis and the rest of the improv team lived at the time. So we just shoved all those sessions in that time that we had Jessica, because she was cast and we really wanted her as one of the three leads. So we just did it. It was hard, but I think part of that added to the experience in a weird way. I'm not saying that it was okay. Like, if this was a union gig, I would be fired. But it did work out.
Where's my healthcare, you dick? But then the editing process for Pokemon was absolutely the opposite.
Oh yeah, because I got a job at Telltale Games. Literally, like, right before we started recording Pokemon. And that was, all those sessions were already locked in. This was back in, 2017. So, yeah, like the spring. So, we still recorded regardless, but I was commuting like an hour to work to this brand new job in a brand new industry too. I had not worked in the video game industry yet. So that was a crazy time. But yeah, it didn't come out for a whole year because of that, because I was working at Telltale. So I just slowly chipped away at it when I could, and then kind of just went full steam ahead once they announced Pokemon Let's Go. I was like, okay, Pokemon Mania is kind of going to settle in. So it's kind of an all or nothing thing. And we jumped out of our hiatus and it went really well. So now we're trying to keep it going.
So now, how long does a season of the show take you to edit? Let's just reference the MCU. Now that you've compounded your skills and...
We're all smirking.
Tell them in hours, Sage. Tell them in hours.
I can tell them in days.
I can actually give you a breakdown of everything. I'm going to post this on Twitter very soon. I've been working on like a thread of sorts. Here we go. So Macabreverse, the very first season of the show. This is all give or take. Like, none of this is very accurate. It's just like a kind of a bullseye. Macabreverse took me around 220 hours to make. That's recording through posting, but doesn't include, none of this includes like the social media stuff, the website, like any of the extraneous. It's just the making of the episode. We had a one shot from Lasers and Feelings. That was 58 hours. We had Victoria 1890. That whole season took 126. I feel like that's undercutting. I think I didn't record some of the music. Pokemon on the whole took me 780 at work hours. And Marvel on the whole took me 776.
So they were
just around the same amount of time.
Sage is a Virgo.
Oh God, here we go again.
And I'm just going to say that.
For those of you counting at home, that's between 50 and 60 days of work time. Days.
Yeah.
Total for the show.
But you also, you do your own music and the whole nine on all this, right?
Yes. So all of it's sound designed and pretty meticulous. Our pay, you know, those seasons that are behind the paywall, those were less in that vein. And then when we got to Pokemon, it was just so ripe for it, like to bring that world to life, this like video game, goofy anime world, trying to find a blend between like a cartoon anime and a video game literal world. Like, it was just so hard to not like really start getting detailed with that stuff and try to like challenge myself to just make it fully produced. I think I was hesitant to go in that realm because, and well, the reason most actual plays don't do that is because of the work hours that I just laid out in front of us. Like by no means, I totally get why nobody wants to do what I'm doing. But I will say that I think I was also afraid that it would be quote unquote like too much. And I think for some people it probably is. But once I put the pedal on the gas, whatever that saying is, pedal to the metal, the car went go and it sounded good. I liked how the engine sounded. So we just kept leaning into that, and it took a lot more time to make each episode. Usually I'm going in around like for a minute of content, takes like an hour of work. But it paid off like tremendously because people just responded to it so much more than our old stuff. And we as creators, like, it's just so much more fun to hear everything that was happening in our heads while we recorded, like in real time with the playback, you know. It just makes the whole experience very fun and more memorable, I think.
So. It's also fun for us to listen back to, because obviously like we're there in the room doing all of it, but then to be able to hear it at a later date fully sound designed is incredible as a performer, because it is. It's like what we've been imagining in our heads while we're trying to stay immersed in this world. It's now there. It is a part of it, which is just a really cool thing.
By the virtue of Sage's work ethic, we get to fulfill the role of like a writer who gets their script optioned and then actually produced. And we're like, wow, I see my ideas up on the screen. Except it's just, yeah. Hey, Sage, you want to build this whole world real quick?
Real quick.
Yeah, it's funny. Earlier on, there was definitely some moments of like, Greg used to mess with me all the time where, you know, you would create thing like in the improv.
Fix it in post.
I edit for a podcast called Hello from the Magic Tavern. So if anybody has heard of that show or listens to that show.
Devin just got really excited. I feel like that needs to be said out loud.
The whole backwards closet lean. It was
I was bringing them up because Adil Rafai, who's one of the hosts in that show, he loves doing this bit where he'll just be like, "Oh my God, there's nine cats playing piano right over there," and it's like, "God damn it, Adil!" There was one episode where he was just like, "Wow, this jazz band with all upright basses sounds amazing." I'm like, "Fucking sorry, I don't know if we can swear on the show, but yeah,
I remember you sending me that cue, and it was just called like." I think it was like, "Here's your cellos, goddammit," or something like that.
Yeah, so we did it. We don't play into that bit as much as Adil does on 20 Sided Stories, but certainly earlier on with Pokemon, there was some of that. And I actually enjoy it now because I don't feel like there's ever been a time yet. Maybe I'm digging my own grave here where somebody's endowed like a sonic thing. And I've been like, "Oh boy, that's going to be too much work." Every time it's more fun to me, to the whole experience. And it makes it so much more real when you guys get to call out stuff that you see. And then I get to just like, it feels like still doing improv just in slow motion. You know, you're like improvising with the future in a weird way.
So I kind of want to step back a little bit and learn about each one of you more independently. So just, you know, give me a rundown real quick. What is your experience? And then, you know, what all do you help with on the show? I know there's social media, there's websites, there's so much learning to always be done in audio formats because it's always changing. So, you know, what does each one of you bring to the table? We'll not start with Sage. Go ahead with Jessica.
Yeah, Sage brings most of the table.
Sage brings the table.
So I'm an actor. An improviser. So that's my main strength, I'd say, for the podcast. I went to an acting conservatory down in LA during the middle of that. That's when we recorded Pokemon. And I've done, you know, a few classes at UCB, which is Upright Citizens Brigade, in LA. And then with the podcast, so I try to help with what I can. So far I've pretty much helped with like transcripts, dabbled in some of the social media. What else have I done? I've helped just kind of random shit like memes, or
she is our meme queen.
yeah. I love to make memes. And then of course I had a lot of fun doing this. We had the idea for at least the Pokemon season. We had character Twitter accounts. So there's that. I had Candace Carter. You can follow Candace Carter on Twitter if you'd like. I'm not gonna plug her. Yeah, but I won't. You can find her if you wanna.
Oh wow, okay. That's an ongoing bit. It's usually Candace trying to get her Twitter plugged, so
I didn't do it.
I mean, we've already done it. Us talking about it is the same thing. You might as well go follow at Candy Carter Wins. Go for it. Yeah, fine. I'll give you this one.
But it's cool that you do the transcripts. I personally do that. I know how time consuming that can be.
Well, I do want to make an adjustment. I don't do the like, we have an amazing listener named Tiffany who does. I kind of review her transcripts. She does the hefty work of the transcripts. She literally makes the most. I mean, we're going to be releasing them soon, I realized. Yeah.
Yeah, she just finished them last night at the time of recording this, all the Marvel ones. So we're launching that soon. By the time this episode comes out, I'd imagine all the transcripts for Pokemon and Marvel will be available. Jessica's been like, kind of coming in after Tiffany's written stuff and just doing like basic editing and cleaning up and stuff like that.
That's fair. And then Emily.
Yes. So I actually, I work in production. I work in the television industry as a producer. A lot of what I've done has been more digital based. So I also have like a social media management background and all of that, which I've found has been pretty applicable to this as well. I mean, it's been very interesting going from like working only in visual mediums to working in an audio medium, and the way that like that changes marketing and the way that that changes structure and all of that. But for me, I think it was a pretty comfortable transition because that's just what I do career-wise, is already working in production. I work more in unscripted, but like this is also unscripted technically. It's narrative, but it's unscripted. So technically, still within my wheelhouse. Jess and I sort of, I think, fulfill a similar role in the producing capacity because we are the two people who never edit anything, really. We're just more of like the idea factory. Because a lot of the way that we work, peek behind the curtain, is we have a group chat where we like throw the spaghetti against the wall and see if it sticks. And the other people are the wall and our ideas are the spaghetti. So that's kind of a lot of how we work. So, I mean, we're all contributing to like, you know, certain social aspects, you know, a lot of other things, which I'm not sure if we can talk about yet. Some of the things we have things coming, unrelated.
You have to start telling me what's going on. I don't like being left in the dark like this.
I actually don't know which things she was talking about that time. We did do that to you one time, Travis, but
No, these are two things that we've discussed that are going to be happening soon.
Are you talking about like the next series?
No.
Oh.
I was talking about... Okay. moving on from that. Yeah. Jess and I are definitely like there for ideating, asking Sage if he needs help. Sage being like, no. And us asking again at a later date.
Have I said no? I think it's not a
straight no. It's like a, well, okay, so here's the thing. I have to do this because A, B, C, D.
Yeah, no, yeah, okay, fair. Yeah, fair.
Yes,
fair.
He is our fearless leader. We provide support, a lot of what we do, creating new ideas, you know, coming up with ideas for upcoming content. Obviously, you know, we're ideating characters and things like that. It's very much like we do give Sage a lot of shit for being like, you know, the leader of this, but it is really like a group effort in a lot of ways in terms of like the creative and things like that. And I think we're just, you know, trying to pick up the slack where we can. I've also been helping edit a couple of the transcripts. Tiffany's done an amazing job. We're just a little collaborative hive. That's us. Sage is the queen of our hive.
But Em, you've also done some like, I mean, it's very minimal because we are starting out and we're trying to like find our footing, but like, you know, helping with PR stuff and like reach out.
Yeah, I mean, outreach and things like that, because that does fall into the wheelhouse of like what I do career wise in terms of like social and things like that and like brand integration.
There's also been several times where you just happen to know the person we need for a thing.
She's like our main casting agent.
It's,
right
it's
now.
Been.
Oh, that's true. I am the finder of people. Yeah, actually, yes, I've gotten a guest and then a guest voice and then some other people who've helped behind the scenes. Because it turns out other people also actually really like this project. I had asked a friend for a favor to help us out the other day, and he was like, yeah, you know, I'm a fan of the show. And I was like, oh, right.
And then Travis.
Right. My background as it pertains to this show is honestly changed. And I think that speaks to how we're developing as a show and as a team. It's hard to even say at the moment what like our specific roles are outside of the ones that, you know, Sage sort of has. A lot of the development of the show has been something that Sage took the lead on and wanted to start with our improv friends and has become more substantial and more of a creative pursuit. So as we've moved forward in time, we've sort of found our roles as needed. And the game has been, all right, now what can we take out of Sage's like sort of work pipeline once we understand how the process works and take that off of him? It's not so much that like, it's not Sage is hoarding all the shit to do or we're like not wanting to do it. A lot of this has been a navigation of, or a process of translating what it means to work on this show and what we can do. Like, for example, throughout Pokemon, at the time I was working at a startup as a community manager. So I was a community manager pretending to be a social media person for the show. And now Emily came along and she's actually a social media person. So I've just stopped doing that. Like, almost without meaning to, I just at a point was like, I no longer have a desire to touch this. And that was also when I made a career shift going back to music education. I'm a music teacher, and I do like freelance composing, stuff like that. So in that way, my focus has shifted from supporting the show outside of production to now supporting the show within production. Things as simple as for the Marvel season, I edited like the bonus episodes where we did the Patreon interviews with the guests, which was also something new to the Marvel season, was guests. Another example of how the show's grown as we move forward in time. And moving forward, Sage and I, because I'm a musician, like I've done it. That's the thing I've been doing. And it feels almost mean at this point to not try to help Sage on that front.
Well, it's also weird that we've taken so long to find, I mean, it's my fault because I've just like pushed myself into a corner and just like, gotta get done right now. Gotta go.
That's part of, yeah.
But
part of it's the pace at which we produce. And also it's the Sage, one of the most admirable things about him to me as an artist is that everything is done out of necessity. Like when he got that job at Telltale, he had a game design test in a language he didn't understand in terms of like coding or like developer language, whatever that means. And he just taught himself over a weekend how to do it and then did it. And I remember there was a time where him working in audio was like a new-ish adjacent thing because he came from mostly a film world. So he's developed this whole ecosystem that is self-contained. So to those of us that are coming at it with more either traditional or specific perspectives, like now moving forward, we're going to be looking to divide up scoring duties or some mixing duties and things like that, which the goal is we're going to make this a more cohesive production between the four of us, which means we can hopefully put out more than one season every 6 years.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I teach music.
He is, what is Jack Black's character's name in School of Rock? Mr. Schuster, but not, he's not Schuster. He's
Schneebly.
I work at a School of Rock location, a legitimate actual School of Rock. It's not a theme park. It's a place. The school.
He teaches the children how to rock.
The school came before the movie, but then they were going to make a documentary about the school. Sorry, but then the producers were like, oh yeah. Oh, dude. Okay, so there was this place called Peter Green School of Rock in like Pennsylvania, and it was like going pretty well. VH1 and Paramount were going to make a documentary about it. And then Paramount was like, yo, this might make a better movie than a documentary. And they wrote a script and then they stopped talking to the school and then they just made the movie. And then Peter Green was like, hey guys, that's kind of, you know, not great. And they were like, okay, how about this? You don't sue us, but you can use the all of like the naming and design conventions that we used for the movie. And he was like, deal. And then he sold the franchise anyway.
So you, at least on this call, you guys feel like a very, you know, cohesive unit. But I also know that there's the, you know, the back end of it, the stress of, you know, the storming and the norming that comes with teams that are continually growing, adapting to new skills, adapting to things like COVID. Have you guys gone through one of those storming phases where, you know, everybody just put their phone down, didn't talk to each other for a weekend? Or have you been, you know, one of the lucky teams that Travis is just flying the bird?
Travis is flipping all of us off. Yeah, that's impeccable timing, this question. We actually like just on Monday kind of like had like a little powwow where we're like, okay, how do we, what do we like, let's, are we all okay? Like that was literally just earlier this week and it ended with it like, okay, we are okay. And this interview on Friday is a perfect opportunity to prove it to ourselves.
I'm so glad you said we're like presenting as a cohesive group because it feels like we just aced the test that we set for ourselves.
Yeah. You just gave us the passing grade, Devin. Thank you.
Hey, I did my job. We did it.
No, we're a lot of strong personalities. I think that's part of what makes this a success is because we do have to have, especially like myself, Jessica and Travis have to have a lot of like self-starting with creating characters in a world and all of that. So we all have very strong personalities. We all have very strong opinions. We're all very respectful of each other for the most part. I think that just as like performers and creatives, we get a little emotional about things sometimes.
You don't say.
And it definitely seeps into the work occasionally, but we're also great communicators. And the fact that we had a conversation about it helped to put us back on track. And it's definitely been better.
Yeah, I think a big thing is like, what it always seems to come down to is like this show is just very hard. Like, it's very just particularly difficult. Not to say that it's like harder than, say, like running a film set or something, like, God, no, but it's just something that is like, as Travis said, kind of exists in its own universe. Like there's not a whole lot of things we can go look at as like, quote unquote, best practices. We're taking a whole bunch of different disciplines and mashing them together in kind of this new experimental form. A lot of other people are, and it's funny to see, like, on social media, everybody go through this together in the sort of like RPG live streaming and actual play space. Like, it's a lot of discovery on like, how do you make this format work? So yeah, we definitely have our own trials and tribulations in that, like, the, you know, going back to that houseboat that we recorded Pokemon in, there was absolutely some sessions of that where just like, you know, people getting frustrated over the rules, or like, I didn't make a plot twist very clear, and so I had to like, we had to like stop and talk about it, like stuff like that. Like, it totally happens. But we have the advantage of our show's edited, so we can always cut that stuff out and then circle back, talk about it, and it'll be better the next time.
Gotcha. So then, you know, just to balance out, you know, that last question, you guys have been through a lot together through this creative journey. Can we just take a second and just, you know, what's your favorite thing about one of your castmates or crewmates, or just the show in its entirety?
Sure. Okay. I'll go first this time, and then you all be in order after me. Great. One of my favorite things about this show is how it has allowed me to stay in touch with some of my best friends. On a 10,000 foot view, you know, I wouldn't be a part of the show if I didn't enjoy doing it. And I don't like doing tabletop enough in my own time for that to be the reason. Like, I've known Sage and Jessica for 6-ish years now. You know, we've done improv together for years. We've done theater together. Both have done shows with both of them independently. And now Emily, for like, God, coming up on more than half a year now, is like a legitimate friend that I don't know from back home, which is a big deal for me, because I don't, you know, I got enough friends. And this is a conversation that we and we love you for it, all the sliding that you do. This is a conversation that we touched upon when we had our, like, basically, you know, talk the other week. We're like, what are we doing this for? Because with each new thing we do, it feels more like a production and less like a hobby, which is an important distinction. And I kind of forget where I was going with that, so excuse me. I felt a lot of steam on that one, then it all just went out the window. But
it was beautiful while it lasted.
Favorite things about the show. It allows us, and I know Sage will probably echo this, to exercise a bunch of different things that we enjoy as creatives into one space and create something that is unique, but really fun. And it is hard, but like, that's part of it too, is learning how to do something new and applicable. And by a sheer stroke of luck, at least in this weird reality we exist in, something that we can actively produce while the world is figuring itself out.
Is it my turn in this river, in this Uno reverse that you've just slapped down? Okay, I think I'll probably answer this as a two-parter. I think the thing I enjoy most about Sage, Jessica, and Travis is that they take having fun seriously, which sounds strange. But for me, like, I love theater and I love performing and I love all of that. And I can't stand... Sorry, I'm going to tell a very brief anecdote. I used to teach theater to children, and I love teaching in the 3 to 5 age range because nobody's embarrassed about anything. They'll do anything on stage. They don't care. And I would refuse to teach like the 12 and 13 year olds because they'll stand there because it's not cool and they don't want to do it. And that drove me insane. And like, even in a lot of like professional productions I've been in, it doesn't always feel like everybody's taking it seriously, which doesn't necessarily mean you don't have to have fun. But I like that the three of them are like, we're going to do this right. We're going to have a good time, but like, this is serious and we're turning out a good product. And for me, I really enjoy that and that motivation. And I've also never felt like so supported by a cast as I have on 20 Side Stories. Just both you guys and also the NPCs this season. Like, everybody was there for each other in a way that made us all much more comfortable and allowed us to have the emotional reach that, you know, I wasn't sure we were going to get in a parody show, because I thought it was going to be like, eh, this is fun and games, but then people are sobbing at the end of the Pokemon and the Marvel series. And we did that because we were allowed to go there, which I love. So actually, technically, that answers what I like about this show as well. But I don't know. I like being able to see this as both like a work commitment and as a play commitment. And I like the intersection of the two and how we balance it.
I think we've all taken our social and emotional lumps through a background of either educational or community theater to the point where we know what isn't and what is what we want in this show experience of recording socially.
So Emily mentions like sobbing and emotional. And then this is a very like personal question, and I may start to cry. So,
but we love this about you. We love your vulnerability.
Absolutely.
Oh my God. So I've always really appreciated about like the ensemble. The support, the general support that Emily was kind of talking about just now, like with, and that is so necessary for any like acting devised troupe or an improv troupe, is to really just like the whole, you know, backstage people go, I have your back, got your back. Like that's a thing that people do. And that's definitely something that this podcast has. But I think something that I thought of that I've always really appreciated is how it's so, and Sage is something, this is something that he might amplify as well, which is why he makes this such an ensemble show, as much as he's like a leader. It's just like having more creative people involved makes it just so much more interesting and enjoyable, because you have so many different life experiences and different personalities. And something I really appreciated about Pokemon and then Marvel, which I'm so thankful for, because I remember when Greg wasn't able to join, I got nervous, because it was like, you know, with Marvel, we had a very strong like foiling to each other as
Pokemon, are you saying?
Oh yeah, did I say Marvel?
Yeah.
Sorry, Pokemon. And so I just really appreciate like just the roles that we kind of all, like the strengths that each of us have are very different. Like I feel like Emily and Travis are super witty and just like can just like quickly pick up shit and like frame it. And like, I'd probably say my strength is emotional availability as I prefaced me crying. Like, I think like I didn't even, when I started improv, I didn't even know what improv was. And I just kind of went on the stage and just was reacting. And I think that that's kind of like, I don't know. It's weird talking about, I don't know what my strengths are thoroughly, but I feel like with Travis and Emily, they both frame things really well. And Sage is really good at just like, and this is something that I love about the podcast, going to the second part of that question, is like the combination of comedy and drama that just kind of happens through. Like we made a video talking about our brand, which was making people cry when we're a comedy show. And I think that that's what I love about the show most, is like being able to get people to fall in love with like a storyline or characters and really like laugh with us. And then at the end, just kind of like go through the arcs of that. And here I am getting sort of emotional, but it's cool. It's chill. I think I'll stop there.
More crying, more crying, more crying.
Oh, man.
We want to win an Oscar for this podcast appearance.
hey, Andrew of Roll for Persuasion nominated us with the title of the interview that we have on his show. So
that's right. You know what's wild is how good of friends him and I are now. Like we
basketball. As soon as you guys started talking about basketball, I was like, we're doomed.
And I quote, locked in. I think Beth May's greatest achievement is introducing me to someone who understands basketball as deeply as I do. And I was like, buddy, I'm gonna cry.
I guess just to wrap up that question on my end. It's been a lot. As Travis kind of talked about, like in a lot of ways, this show just kind of started as like an idea that I had with founder of the show, Greg Reasoner, who's on the Pokemon season. he lives up in the Bay, so we kind of had to just keep making the show without him, but we love him, and I know he's supporting us in his own way. So we really approached this as a fun hobby, and it was kind of something I was just doing and then bringing on people that I just love to work with and laugh with to add to that. And it was just like, come help me on this, come do improv for me. It was a lot of just come be on my thing. And what's really special about this, and I think that really was what made Pokemon like work, was it stopped being about like me doing a project and being about us like creating something together. And we, just to clarify, we bring on other improvisers beyond the leads to play NPCs. So I do play a lot of the NPCs like a regular game master does, but I like to delegate those voice roles to other voices because, and this speaks to what I'm talking about, they'll just add stuff that I literally couldn't, and it will surprise me, and it will not only feel more immersive and more fun, but it will just, the stew just becomes so much more tastier. There's all these different spices and flavors, and we're very lucky to have had so many really good creative people come on the show and contribute their comedy and their voice talents. And Jessica, Emily, Travis, and our other host, David, going forward are no exception to that. They've taken a very, very, very difficult format that I'm actively trying to figure out as we go and amplified it with all of their own strengths and creative energies. You know, like we said, Emily coming in with just all these people that we didn't know we needed right when we need them. And I'll echo what Jessica said, just like super witty, you know, and Travis, it's crazy. Like Travis and I met doing music. We met doing musical theater.
Well,
and
we met doing improv first, I think.
That's true. But I don't think Travis and I,
yeah, but I, didn't
yeah, I don't
like
think Travis
then.
And I really were into each other and still until we discovered like some musical, like with bands, like we discovered we both like a lot of the same bands and where that overlap was. And then we did
it was
like
Sage and Travis's infinite playlist.
We did a whole string of musical theater productions together. And so to be able to create with people I'm really close with, like everything just keeps telling me to keep doing it, even when the show is like totally exhausting me. And there's other things I am definitely interested in. At the end of the day, like nothing compiles, like Travis said, nothing compiles all of these skills and these disciplines like this podcast, like 20 Sided Stories does. 20 Sided Stories has me doing everything I am interested in one, which ultimately is helping me build my strength as a director, which is kind of what I consider my end all and what I consider myself the most. So it's a real treat to go in and we're all just like doing goofy improv, but then to have something at the end of it that didn't just get thrown away. Cause I think that was something that was always very tragic about improv for me, was that it's very fun. It's very satisfying. And then you just totally forget about it and it's gone. And there is some beauty to that. Like that is cool because it takes a certain amount of pressure off that we absolutely have that pressure when we're doing improv on 20 Sided Stories. But it's a different kind of conversion. Now we have like that extra emphasis on caring. I think, you know, it's going to last the rest of our lives in a way. We're making stories that are totally immortal. Like we can go back and listen to these things, and like going back to listen to Pokemon already, because we recorded that 3 years ago, is wild. You know, like it doesn't seem like it might be that long ago for anybody jumping into the show recently, but it's really cool to see kind of like this creative evolution that has happened, because it's a lot of just like figuring out as we go. And every time it's gotten better and better. So now we're at a nice little convergence point where I think it's going to yet again get better. And I think we're all like feeling that and ready to take to the next level. So
if you can put some like soft emotional strings behind that last bit. Yeah, really kind of. Thanks.
You put some soft emotional strings.
Sage Will.
Music man.
I am a soft emotional string. Leave me alone.
So now we already kind of skirted around the future. So I'm going to phrase this in the best way that I can. How long do we as the listening audience have to wait for what's next?
Can we break something, please? Can we give a scoop? Can we give a scoop?
No, we can't. Scoop? We can't. Mostly
can we do
because,
a taste?
Because a lot of times we don't know things until like the day it happens.
Let's try. Let's dare to dream. Let's free Willy.
Can we say we're doing something a little different coming up?
Yeah.
I'll tease some stuff. Like, okay, so it's absolutely going to be sooner. Okay, so like between Pokemon and Marvel, it was like 8-9 months. Like it was a while. It felt like that. It was a while. We went dark for a while because we moved to, me and Jessica moved down here to LA. We got a whole bunch of new stuff, upgrades for the production and casting, like including casting Emily. Blah 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 blah. It was a whole thing. Like how can we do better than the last time? COVID kind of went, hey, you gotta start from scratch again. But luckily I think we kind of have it figured out. We've done some test recordings and we've been doing a lot of remote recording. We've done small pickups for Marvel, little additional scenes and fixing like lines and continuity and stuff like that. So we're gearing into the next thing. And we actually have like our two next series planned. And I think, yeah, just based off the conversation Travis and I had yesterday, our next series is
tentatively.
I don't want to say, I'm not going to say what it is, but I will just say it's more than one thing. And we have it locked in. Like we know what we're going to do and it's absolutely going to be like within the next 2 months at worst.
We got some spicy things coming. I'm very excited.
If all goes well, like it's like a month from now is like we're starting the next series and it'll be shorter than Marvel, but different. And then that'll transition us into the thing that we're going to do after that, which will, I think, be longer, different, but then also
the
unique. Because we want to really spice up the feed. Right now, just having Pokemon or Marvel is like not enough. Like we really, I'm like really like excited to just like really embrace the anthology thing.
And that's almost a convention of COVID forcing us to think of how we can do stuff sort of in a more shotgun sense and more kind of on the go remotely, which is, I think, going to, it's going to push us into having more variety, which is cool. So we can have more than, you know, as you said.
Yeah, it's weird for the, it's definitely like a little bit of a learning curve for the chemistry because we've always done recording in person. But I think because we had that as sort of a prerequisite, it's okay now. Like we kind of, like we know each other in real life. We've all worked like in person. So now we kind of know how to translate that to working remotely. And I will say there's a benefit of editing. There's no mic bleed. For anybody who knows what that is, all the mics picking up each other. We're very loud improvisers sometimes. There's some absolute screaming at the top of our lungs moments. We try to commit where we can because all of us have an acting background. So that's an advantage of being remote. Now we can just piss off our neighbors and and whatever. They'll get it.
Yeah, I got to slip a note under my next door neighbor's door that's like, if I'm screaming, I'm not being murdered.
I promise. Signed, not a murderer. Soon, hopefully, soon-ish, soon adjacent.
Literally, as soon as possible is my like what I'm leaning into.
Awesome. So it was great having you all on the show. I think I'm good to wrap it up. So if we could just go around the table real fast and just tell us where we can find you amongst the social media and the show.
Of course.
Nine.
You can go to 20sidedstories.com for. All of our series are there and links to every single podcasting platform, whichever one you want to listen to the show on. We're also on Twitter at 20 Sided Stories, Facebook, Instagram at 20 Sided Stories. That's 20 Sided Stories, not spelled.
There we go.
How about you? Where can the people
What's your address?
Find you?
Is there any, I think that's it, right?
That was a real question.
That's the website and social media.
Yeah, but your personal contact, you dummy.
Me?
Yes.
Yeah.
God.
At Sage GC.
Wait, what do they want to know about me?
I am the show. The show am me.
So you can follow Sage on Twitter, Instagram, whatever.
Okay. You're saying like all of, okay.
Look, you, as a person, an individual.
Is like, I've put so much of my life into this show for the past couple of, particularly this year, but recently it's like I don't separate the two anymore. Like 27 stories and my brain is like,
it's funny because literally last night, or I don't even know, because COVID, Sage and I sleep schedules is bizarre.
Yeah, it's like,
yeah,
they live together, by the way, because that was an obvious by now.
But Sage's Instagram account literally like was like, hey, you're almost done setting up your profile that he's had for over 7 years.
I think Instagram like threatened to delete my account because I don't use it enough.
They're like, post on your wall, like post on your story, or post, make a post.
Because I just spend all my time in Adobe Audition or FL Studio.
Anyway, you can follow Sage at SageGC.
I'm at Sage_GC on Twitter, at SageGC on Instagram. If you know anybody who works at Twitter that can help me get rid of that freaking underscore, please tell me. It is a suspended account. They have no reason to not give it to me. And I have sagegc.com, I have sagegc on Facebook, on Instagram, on like every other social media website. It drives me.
See, this is why he didn't bring it up.
Yeah. Look what you've done.
I'll just say you can follow me at @jessdahlg. That's JESSDAHLG everywhere.
You can find me by the airport. You can find me by LAX.
It's true.
I hang out there. It's where I'm at. On Twitter, you can find me at Treves Butt. That's TREAVES Butt. And on Instagram at Travis Reeves Butt. And on most platforms as that, because I found out at a young age that if I type in my full name, it just stops at Butt. And I laughed for like a day. So that's everything. But I do, aside of that, I need to shout out, because we need to, that the show wouldn't be as cool as it is without the visuals that we have, that a lot of which Sage does after the fact, but the episode art and series art for Marvel done by Rhea Lonsdale and our friend Josh Wolf, which go to our page, you can find all their stuff. If you need artists, hire them, or Marissa who did Pokemon, or Kabebe that did Pokemon.
Yeah, Pokemon, Marissa Bernstein, and Ariana Kabebe. They're all linked on the website at 27stories.com. Like every episode has its own art. All the characters have their own portraits.
An incredibly important part of the show.
Try to make it stimulating for you.
You can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at Emily Irv. That's EMILYERV. I'm not that funny.
That's a fucking lie. Continue.
Also, if anybody wants to like learn how to play the guitar or whatever, I'm for hire. That's my job. Just let me know.
Yeah, you want me to sound design your actual play?
Look.
He doesn't
Look,
have time.
This show, as much as we love it, it does not pay well. And by well, I mean at all. So we're...
Another thing to plug. We have a Patreon.
Shit. That's how we get paid. Yeah.
Yes, we do have a Patreon. If you listen to the show and you enjoy it, patreon.com/20stories. We have a whole bunch of bonus content and we update it every single month. But, you know, go check out the free stuff first.
Xander has his own podcast on the Patreon. It's obnoxious. Yeah.
Travis has a mini series. We got to record the next one, actually. Like,
I can't wait. I already know what I want for it. I mean, I know you know, but I know what we're doing.
No, it's going to be fun. I've been anticipating it. It's going to be great.
All right. Well, Sage, Jessica, Emily, Travis, thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, bye, Emily.
No, I'm here. I'm still here. It's just my computer died. Leave me alone.
Thank you all so much for coming on, wading through all of the technical issues.
Thank you for having
means
us.
Means the world, Evan. Really this appreciate it bringing us on. Yeah.
This has been so much fun. Oh my God.
We're professionals.
And I really can't wait to see what you guys come up with next and continue to create in the future going forward. So thank you again for coming on the show. And I'll keep up with you guys on Twitter there.
Please do.
Heck yeah. We're friends now for life. Yes. Used to it.
You're stuck with us.
Birthdays and Christmas, expect cards.
When's your birthday?
January 17th.
14.
Whoa.
Hey.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of Bardic Babble. Bardic Babble is a part of the Bard Podcast Network's family of shows. You can find Bardic Babble and all of our other shows at thebardpodcast.com. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe for updates on new episodes. We can't wait to share the next story with you.